welcome to a special Portland vacation episode of...
Portland, Maine. Brutal yes. Battle.
Yes, brutal battle, and yes, good clarification, not Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine.
But we have been to Portland, Oregon.
We have been to Portland, Oregon. But we've been wanting to go to Portland, Maine for a bit. Had to go up that way, Boston area, for a wedding. So we decided, why don't we just make this a vacation for us ahead of time and then hit the wedding on the way out of town. And we did. Yeah. So we spent a few days there. So this episode, we're just going to kind of go over what we did. We did hit a bunch of breweries and some other places to drink beer and to drink some other stuff. And we will talk about those a little bit, but there are three breweries in particular that we hit up that we'll only talk a little bit about, but we're not going to go too into depth because we're going to do specific brewery showcase episodes for those three breweries. So those will be coming out later in the next few weeks. They'll actually be coming out like 1, 2, 3 right after this. So over the next 3 weeks after this one will be those. And we'll end up, I'll tell you the order as we go on. So, let's get started. Where were we first? On our very first day in Portland, Maine, what stood out to you as something awesome that we discovered?
Scratch Bakery.
That's right. Go ahead.
It was like right down the street from the Airbnb we stayed in. And we went there, we're there every day.
Yeah, I think we
and
went.
Then one day we went twice.
Yes. And that's because their stuff is really good. The first day we were there, they had a scone that was their version of like a homemade Pop-Tart. So it was a scone, but it had like a nice strawberry jam inside of it. And like a vanilla glaze on top with some sprinkles.
It was fun. It was delicious.
It was really good. Yeah. And they had really good bagel sandwiches. They made their own bagels there that were very nice bagels. And they had a lot of really good dessert items. And their scones were really nice. Very soft, too.
One of the nights we got was a raspberry cheesecake.
Yep. Raspberry cheesecake.
And then another night we got
chai bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a chai dessert with graham cracker. It was like a graham cracker crust. I think that had like ginger in it, maybe.
You know, I don't really remember that dessert all that much because I remember taking like one bite of it and being like, this is all for you, because spicing like that, like chai spices and stuff, if it's a certain level, I'm just not interested.
Yeah. But the cheesecake was better.
Yeah, I definitely ate my share of the cheesecake. So, you know. Yeah. Actually, I forgot. We were going to start with a beer.
Yeah.
That was our spiel about Scratch. The other thing to say about Scratch real quick, they had pretty good coffee, too.
Yes.
They had pretty good coffee.
I think they had very good coffee.
So, overall, a really nice spot in Maine. Actually, it's in
South Portland.
Yeah. And if you guys are ever in that area, look for Scratch Bakery. Something I say around here all the time, we don't have very many bakeries in Maryland that I'm aware of. Specifically, we don't really have any good bakeries. At least not anywhere close to us. So when we find a really good bakery somewhere, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well, I mean, we have like places to buy like cakes or cupcakes, but not like a full service.
Yeah.
Like bread. I mean, they had bread and all kinds of different baked goods and
they did the works. So our first beer we're going to try here is by Maine Beer Company. Most people listening to this will probably know of Maine Beer Company. They're pretty well known. The other three beers after this are much lesser known breweries. Most people probably have not heard of them. So Maine Beer Company's Woods and Waters, it's one of their IPAs, and they are out of Freeport, Maine. This beer is 6.2% alcohol, and it is less than 2 months in the bottle. Okay. Like, it's about a month and a half, maybe. So, yep. This is actually, I've had an okay amount of Maine beer stuff, but this is one that I have not had before, and that's the reason that I picked this bottle up, because I was like, oh, there's a Maine Beer Company beer I've never had, so let's do it. All right, so it looks like, oh, you might want to flip on that other light near you, unless you're all right. It looks pretty yellow.
Yeah, and it's very clear.
Yeah, there's a slight orange to it, but it's pretty yellow. Yeah, pretty clear. Yeah. Decent amount of bubbles. I did do an agitated pour, but even when I do agitated pours, You don't usually get this much head to it. This is a pretty decent amount of head. What does it smell like?
It smells like an IPA, but yeah. It's not really, nothing that really hits you in the face.
It just smells like, it's a little resiny in the smell.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of like a citrus with a little bit of like a hop resin note in there. It smells crisp and light, though.
It does. It smells like really, really light.
Yeah. It smells like a straight IPA. You know, sometimes you get, like, with a double IPA, you'll get kind of those more syrupy kind of notes in the nose, and this smells like it's going to be a lot thinner than that, more refreshing, less of a syrupy chewiness.
It is. I took my first sip.
Mm, smells good.
It is really light tasting. Like, you definitely get the characteristics of an IPA, like the hoppiness, a little bit of the bitterness, but it's light.
Yeah, it's super light. It's almost kind of watery on the finish.
Yeah, but not.
But it's not bad.
But not in a bad way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what actually makes it, like, it smelled refreshing.
Yeah.
At the same time as it's, like, hoppy and flavorful. It's, like, hoppy, flavorful, with a little bit of bitterness up front. And it's got that little bit of, like, a resinous flavor with some citrus. And then the end is kind of, like, a thin, refreshing snap to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, Maine Beer Company. That's nice. Okay. Yeah.
So, our first day. So, after Scratch Bakery, we hit the road.
Yeah.
And drove up to Oxbow.
In Newcastle, Maine, which that drive for us was like, what, like an hour and 15 minutes, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the drive, we were hoping to see a moose. Because apparently you can see some moose up there.
Well, we like did and we didn't.
Right, because they can be aggressive and destructive and mess up your car if they get aggressive.
I just more or less liked the sign that was like, watch out for moose.
Yeah, exactly. Which we were like, wait, what? They get moose here?
Yeah. And also just interesting seeing like the mileage like signs also in kilometers, which is interesting.
Well, there's that, but also just seeing the difference in tree cover. Yeah. Because, you know, where we live in Maryland versus Maine, the types of trees that you get in the wood, you know, quote, wooded areas are very different. And it's just kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah. So it was a really pretty drive.
Super pretty drive.
And kind of ended up in
the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. And they do describe, I was like, what is, they're talking about like, oh, like tourist season's died down. So we don't have a lot of, you know, it's not as busy. And I was like tourism, like what do people... and they're like, well, it's really rural up here, but we have a lot of lakes. So a lot of people have like a lake house. Yeah. They spend time on a lake.
So, and it was funny because there was a particular corner that we had to turn at.
Yeah.
If you do you remember what that was called, Rebecca?
What was it? Cow?
Cow shit
corner. Yeah.
Literally, there's a sign that says cow shit corner. So Rebecca had to ask, actually she asked Hannah, who was working the tap room at Oxbow. She's like, what's the deal with this cow shit corner thing? Yeah. And she's like, it was kind of like a joke at first, and then people like put up a sign, so it's this thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Which, by the way, shout out to Hannah. She's super, super nice. Really cool. Also, shout out to Tyler there, because he kind of was the first person to greet us and be like, oh, you guys, you know, who are you with? You know, what are you here for? What can I do for you? And then, obviously, shout out to Mike Fava, who's the head brewer there at Oxbow. We spent some time with him. But we'll talk more about the brewing and, you know, their beers and that type of stuff in their brewery showcase episode, which will actually be next week after this episode. So they will be the first of the brewery showcases because they were the first one we went to. So disclaimer real quick, if people end up hearing piano music in the background, it's the neighbor. This is what sucks about living in a townhouse. Sorry. So at Oxbow, we just want to give like a few of the beers that we'd like the most. We'll talk more about the beers that we had when we do the showcase episode.
You liked the Grisette.
So they had this really nice like Azaka hopped Grisette called Grisaka.
Yeah.
Really nice. It's really, really hard to find breweries that do Grisettes in the first place. So when you find a brewery doing a Grisette and they do a really good job with it, which has like a nice kind of hop kick to it, it's awesome. So that was my favorite beer there, honestly.
I don't remember what I liked. I'm not very good with names.
I think you really liked the Space Cowboy, which was their beer de garde.
I did like the Space Cowboy.
That was kind of like, it was kind of a little bit farmhousey, but more malty than you would typically think a farmhouse beer is. So I remember you particularly enjoying that one. But we also really liked the Crossfade, which was just like a sour farmhouse ale. Mm-hmm. So those were our highlights real quick. By the way, they have a cat.
Yes,
Dizzy. That's the other thing. Dizzy the cat, indoor-outdoor cat, apparently very friendly. We didn't get to see Dizzy when we were there. But
I've been stalking Dizzy on Instagram.
Rightfully so. Dizzy's super cute.
So then after Oxbow, we drove to Maine Beer Company.
Well, we did. So at first, we were not going to go to Maine Beer Company when we were going on vacation. So when we go out on vacations, a lot of times I'll be like, okay, what breweries do we want to go to? I'll email ahead and say, hey, we're with this beer podcast. We want to see if maybe we could get a tour or talk to someone behind the scenes, get some information, whatever. Get a little extra access. So we did that with three breweries. We thought about doing Maine, but Maine Beer Company was out of the way from where we were going to go. Because initially we were just going to go to the bottling and blending location of Oxbow, which is in Portland, and not their main brewery in Newcastle. But when Katie LaBelle from Oxbow, shout out to Katie LaBelle, got back to me and said, oh yeah, we can have our head brewer talk to you, Mike Fava. She said, if you can, you know, make it to the Newcastle location. I was like, oh, okay, we can do that. I looked it up, but I didn't think that Maine Beer Company was actually on the way.
Yeah.
So Rebecca brought up on our way back from Oxbow in Newcastle that, oh, do you want to stop at Maine Beer Company? Because it's actually on the way back towards Maine. And I was like, it's lunchtime. Hopefully they have food. Sure, let's do that.
Yeah. So we stopped there. We had some beers. We had some really good wood fire grilled, like, pizza.
Really good pizza. Like, really good pizza.
And did a beer sampler there.
Nothing was, like, crazy amazing good.
We had their lunch.
We had the lunch, which, okay, lunch is, like, a big name as far as hoppy beers go, but I think it's one of those ones where, much like Two Hearted by Bell's, like, at its time, it was really good, but as hoppy beers have changed and progressed, it's now just, you taste it and you're just like, yeah, it's a solid IPA.
Yeah.
It's nothing to, like, have fanfare about anymore. I'm sure I know it was at one point, but
I think I like some of their other offerings more.
My favorite was their Son of Sapping Mammoth, which was an IPA that they did in collaboration with Half Acre Beer Company. That was really nice. It had a decent pininess to it, which people know on here, I'm not huge on the pininess, but when it's integrated with a little bit of citrusy notes, typically it can be really good. And I remember that beer in particular being like, the pine and the citrus were on the same level, and I really liked that, and it had, like, a nice body to it for a straight IPA. So that was the Son of Sapping Mammoth. We had the Pilot 19, which was a pale ale, mm-hmm. which I remember you enjoying quite a mm-hmm. bit. Just a nice, hoppy pale ale.
And there's one more, right?
This one, I think, was your favorite, the Post-Ride Snack.
Yes, that was my favorite.
Which was a Session IPA. Mm-hmm. Nice, really
it was
light.
Like, it was light, but it had a lot of flavor, I thought.
Yeah, it did pack a decent amount of flavor, like super light, too.
Yeah. And the weather was nice that day, so we sat outside on a picnic table and had our beer, had our pizza, and then we continued on our way.
Well, real quick, I did want to say about Maine Beer Company, so first of all, sorry for not contacting you guys because we could have done a little bit extra, but like I said, you know, we were not planning on going there. It was kind of a last minute decision, but we really liked your facility. It like looked really new and big mm-hmm. and nice.
And looked like they were expanding.
Yes, they were doing construction while we were there. They were definitely expanding, and that was pretty cool. So then after we had that extremely delicious pizza and those that sampler of beers, we moved on to Bissell Brothers, and met up with Kevin Broderick at Bissell Brothers, who is a super nice guy, and at this point when we're recording this, we have already recorded our episode for the showcase for Bissell Brothers, and we did that because we wanted to make sure that we drank those beers as fresh as possible, because they're, for the most part, all hoppy. There's one beer that's not hoppy. So we wanted to maintain the real freshness. The other breweries, you don't need to be like super fresh. So
yeah. So check out that episode to hear a little bit more about our experience at Bissell.
But I will say real quick, super cool brewery, super nice tap room, lots of beers offered there. And just a few highlights of the ones we really liked. Rebecca, your favorites there were?
Umbra.
Which was an oatmeal stout.
And something that sounds dirty.
Bucalia.
Yes.
Which was like a hoppy amber.
Right.
Which was really nice. For me, my favorite was La Lux, which was their rye pale ale, which was like nice hoppy beer with a little bit of like a rye spice character in there. That was a nice beer. So, but I also really, really love the Umbra as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of good beers there.
Yeah, it was really hard to pick out. Okay, you want to crack open that next one?
Yeah, because that was our first day.
What did we do for dinner that night?
What did we do for dinner? Oh, we picked up Thai food.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and I don't remember the place we got the food from.
Yeah, I don't either. It was just okay.
Sorry. Yeah, it wasn't like great Thai food. It was decent enough. It was close to our Airbnb, so.
Yeah, and we picked it up.
Which, by the way, on topic of our Airbnb, first of all, it was a nice place. Second of all, for the first time ever, we had a situation where they had Netflix available available for us to use, which is really fun because when you're on vacation and, you know, you're just kind of like hanging out in the morning or hanging out at night after you had like a long day, it's just nice to pop on Netflix, go to whatever show you've been watching at home and be able to watch it there, which for us was the show Glow.
Yes.
Which is really good. And then we watched some Office.
Yeah.
So. All right, so the next beer we're going to do is by a very new brewery up there, from what people tell us. Not even a year old, from what I've heard. And this brewery was recommended by a few people. They're Battery Steel Brewing, and steel is S-T-E-E-L-E. Battery spelled like you would think it. This is their on-site number 7. It is an experimental IPA. So, and it's 7.2% alcohol. Oh, they do say what's in it. Malts are 2-row, wheat, oats, Carapils, and the hops are Citra and Vic Secret. Oh, those are two really good hops.
The label on this is underwhelming.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's like their experimental beers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of, you can only buy them there. And it's just like, these are experimental. Here you go. So, also to let people know, for all of these beers that we're tasting right here, this is the first time we've tasted these beers, is on this podcast. We did not drink any of them before this, so this is the first time we're having these. Oh, man, it looks like a hazy IPA.
Yeah, like, it's so thick. It looks like juice.
Oh, my God. That's like one of the haziest beers I've ever seen. It's just like, yeah, it's like pulp. Basically, yeah. That's crazy. Super orange.
And it smells just, smells like a hazy IPA.
Woo! It's like super, super citrusy.
It like is making my mouth like salivate with, because I'm anticipating like the juicy.
Yeah. When the Haze Bros, people call them the Haze Bros, will say... the beers are that juice. Like, this smells like what they would be talking about. Yeah. Like, it smells juicy as hell. It smells like freshly squeezed citrus salad, basically, with that oaty extra body added to it and not barely any bitterness on the nose. So the flavor, Rebecca?
It's solid. It's good. It's delivers on the flavor. Oh, all that real nice citrusy. It has a great kind of thick, kind of creamy mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a very present mouthfeel. A little bit viscous. Slight tinge of bitterness on the end. Barely any. But I get a lot of grapefruit to that. It's almost like a grapefruit smoothie is kind of how it tastes.
I was going to say, it reminds me of like an Orange Julius.
Yeah, I could see that. It's like, there's mango in there, too, though. I would say it's like grapefruit mango smoothie in IPA form. This is really good, actually. Yeah. This is really good. This is the first thing, the first thing outside of the tap room we've had from Battery Steel. And we'll talk about Battery Steel on because they were one of our other days. Yeah. So, oh, you want more?
Yeah.
Oh.
So our second day.
There you go. We started with your thing you wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, I really wanted to do a whale watch, but.
Look, man. 4 hours.
I know.
Not guaranteed to see whales.
I know.
I was
we went back and forth, and then we're like, And I guess that's kind of the end of, like, the real active whale time. So we decided instead to opt for still, like, a boat cruise around Casco Bay to see the lighthouses. So it's really nice. It was a great sunny day. Seeing the lighthouses were cool. We were able to see a seal. We saw two bald eagles.
We did. That's
and
right.
And got a little history of the area, history of the lighthouses. So I really enjoyed that.
And I think they had said that those bald eagles were a mating pair, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was cool to see they were just on this island that we kind of circled. It was nice and relaxing. It really was. Yeah. And the weather was really good that day. It was sunny as well, but not, like, hot.
Yeah.
Because you're out on the water.
Overcast kind of our entire stay, except this one day. So we're like, I need to plan the trip for that.
Sorry, the piano playing is getting louder for whatever stupid reason. Hate it.
So we did that. And then after the boat ride, we essentially did a walking food tour.
We did. We totally did. We were just like, this was a day that we were kind of like, look, we're just going to eat and drink all day. And just like, boom, 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 boom. Hit a place, hit a place, hit a place, hit a place. Just keep going until we either are too tired or we're way too full or both.
And I think we did both.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
I think we hit tired before we hit full, but we also then took food home with us.
Oh, yeah. So we went to Central Provisions for a kind of lunch, I guess.
Yeah, we had a couple. They do mostly all like small plates.
Yeah, like kind of like tapas style stuff.
So we had a couple items there.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I remember quite a bit, they had bone marrow toast. So I don't know if people have had bone marrow before, but it's very, it's like a little gelatinous, but it's also kind of like butter, and it's very fatty. Like, think if you've ever had, like, pork belly. You know, like, the fat portion of the pork belly, it's kind of like that, but it's beef, beef origin. So the toast was basically, like, a nice piece of, like, toasted bread with the bone marrow spread on it, and then it had, like, a like an onion jam and then some, I think Gruyere cheese melted on top. It was really good, but it was larger than I thought and it was super, super like heavy and decadent.
Obviously very rich.
Yeah. It was amazing. But after I finished it, I was like, oh no, I may have set myself up in a bad way for this day.
Yeah. And, so everything we had there was really good. I think we just had three items?
Three or four. Yeah, I think it may have just been three.
Yeah. So from there, we walked over and had a donut at Holy Donuts.
Which, what's special about that place? The donuts.
Oh, well, they're made from potatoes.
Yeah.
From Maine potatoes.
Maine potatoes specifically.
So we had chocolate sea salt.
Right? That was the second time.
It was, yeah, we did go there twice.
There was a second time.
No, it was a dark chocolate cinnamon sugar.
Which I think of all the donuts we ended up having from that place was my favorite. Like, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect with the potato donuts because I don't think I've ever had a potato-based donut before. But it's nice because it's, like, dense. You know, I feel like it makes it richer and denser and, like, more decadent. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. I don't eat donuts often. But when I do, it's usually on vacation.
I love donuts.
I feel like you can justify it then. And it was magical. Holy Donut, great name. Because, it's really awesome.
So then we kind of, what else did we do? We putzed around some of the shops.
From there was your other bakery.
Oh, Two Cats.
I have a list I'm going off of, people. Because as we were going, I kept putting a list on my phone so I could remember all the places we went to.
Yeah, we went to Two Fat Cats Bakery just because I thought the name was really cute. And we ended up with like a pumpkin whoopie pie, which I ate by myself. And then from there, we ended up going over to Duck Fat.
Yep.
Which if you do any sort of research on Portland, Maine, like you read anything, they're like, you have to go to Duck Fat. You have to go to Duck Fat. So we did. We went to Duck Fat, and we just got an order of fries, and then we split a buttermilk blueberry milkshake.
Yeah. Which, you know, well, did you talk about the two dipping sauces for the fries, for the Duck Fat fries? So they had two dipping sauces. One, what was it, a truffle ketchup that we had, and the other one was like a Thai, it was like some sort of like Thai chili mayonnaise, I think.
Yeah.
Both quite good. The fries were good, and the milkshake was good, but I felt like for how many times you hear about Duck Fat and how much hype there is around Duck Fat, it just kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really small place. It's kind of hard to get a table and get in there. And it was just like, I mean, it's kind of basic food. You know, like, I've had really good fries a lot of places. I've had good milkshakes a lot of places. Like, I feel like I could get the fries that good or better at other places, and I could make a milkshake just like that myself at home.
Well, I don't know about that. Have you ever made a milkshake here at home?
No, but now I feel like that's a challenge, and I'm going to try and do it. I'll make it happen.
I mean, I did. So it was what it was like a Wednesday in the middle of the week. It was the middle of the week, and we went there like 2 o'clock, yeah, 1 or 2 o'clock,
between 1 and 2, something like that.
And they're
that.
Like, oh, for two people, it'll be like a 20-minute wait. Like, what?
Yeah, but we'd heard so much about Duck Fat, so we were just like, all right. I mean, put us on the waiting list. We'll hang out. And then it just ended up being like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was like, well, so that like, was kind of weird, because I'm like, okay.
How do you grossly underestimate overestimate?
I was happy, but, so yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
And then from there, we went to like the comic book store, the movie store. We were just like I don't want to say wasting time, but we were just kind of. Because then we
moseying around, kind of.
Because our next destination was we wanted to get a cocktail at the.
Always have trouble with this name, which is why it's good it's written down. Portland Hunt and Alpine Club.
Yeah.
And our bartender there's name was Tyler. Very helpful. Very good conversation with that guy. And he made some really nice drinks. Mine was with gin. I think both of ours had gin in it, didn't it?
I really don't remember.
Yours was kind of like vibrant, like grapefruit, I think. Like grapefruity with like, a little bit of a fizz.
Yeah, it was like bubbly, grapefruity. It was good.
Yeah, and mine was like a gin with kind of similar flavor profile.
Yeah, they both were under the like refreshing
cocktails. Yeah, because at that point, that's what I was feeling. You know, we were just coming off of fries and a milkshake, which is super heavy and decadent. So we wanted something like light and refreshing and easy, and so yeah, but those were good. And he made a recommendation to us at that point to go to a place called Navarre Res, which was supposed to be a really awesome beer bar. So we just went there, we went there immediately, pretty much. And it seems to me like a kind of place I may have talked about it a few times on this podcast before, a place like Max's Tap House, which is in Baltimore. And it's kind of like, Max's is like the hub for craft beer in Maryland. Like, it's the craft beer bar. They get first right of refusal for any, like, big, awesome stuff that comes in the state that's super limited, like your Canteons and things like that. So, Navarre Res was a lot like that. Like, looking at their menu, it was like, we have all these Almanac Beer Company beers. We have all these Jester King beers. We have all these Canteon beers. Although none of their Canteon was available for us that day because Swansea Day was going to be that weekend. So they were holding all those beers for Swansea Day. And I was like, oh, the worst luck. But they had good, they had definitely good beers on tap. What did you end up having there? You had something by Definitive Brewing? Was it like a coconut porter or something?
Coconut milk stout, coconut porter, something like that.
Oh, I guess I probably checked into it.
Yeah.
On Untappd, because I usually would just like... So I had Equinot Flavor Wheel, which was a sour beer by Almanac Beer Company. I think that had some hibiscus in it or something. That was tasty. I mean, Almanac never disappoints me. You had Baby Steps, which was by Definitive Brewing Company. It was a milk stout, and I do remember it having coconut. Yeah. It was like a coconut milk stout.
It was okay. I mean, the coconut flavor was there. It was a little bit too sweet for me, especially kind of after having all of the food we ate that day.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And then I also had a glass of the Lux by Bissell Brothers, which we had had at Bissell Brothers the day prior, but I like that beer so much. I saw it on that list, and I was just like, did I already rinse your glass?
I don't know, but I want more.
Okay.
Wait, you had two beers there?
Yes. Did I? Yeah, I think I did.
Or you just have a
sample? Oh, no. Yeah, actually.
That almanac was a sample.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The almanac was a sample. They also had me, they were like, oh, if you like sours, try this. This beer called Jubila by Horace Aged Ales. And they said they had some sort of like relationship with them and they made it specifically for them. I'm going to be honest. I was not digging that. It was just like an aggressively sour beer with not a whole lot of flavor. It was just like, here's lemon sour. This is a sour beer. It wasn't very finessed or anything. It was just kind of, I was like, okay, thanks. I mean, thanks for the free taste, but, you know.
Oh, but to backtrack, back when we were at the Hunt and Alpine Club?
Portland Hunt and Alpine Club, yeah.
It was, we were at Central Provisions. I was asking our waitress, you know, we're from out of town, where would you recommend us going? Mm-hmm. And one of the places that both she recommended and the bartender
Tyler
recommended was Drifter's Wife.
Yes.
And Drifter's I was like, oh, okay, so two locals recommended Drifter's Wife. Yeah. Maybe we should check it out. And Tyler's like, it's kind of hard to get reservations. You might not be able to get in. And I was saying a lot of people, I'm like, it's hard to get in any restaurants. Like, and he was just saying people just like to eat out a lot. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like
we were going to restaurants at like in the evenings during the week and like packed.
Yeah.
Like where we live and in the areas surrounding, it's not that way. Like during the week, there's barely anyone there. People are usually at home. If they're doing stuff, they're kind of doing like takeout or something.
I mean, they'd be like busy, but not.
Not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is, wow. Nuts. Okay. So it was after
Navarro Rose.
Did we go for dinner after that?
Yeah. We went to Drifter's Wife.
So then we ended up going to Drifter's Wife and we walked in and we got a table.
Yeah, we did.
And it was like 5:30 maybe?
Well, at that point, the actual bar was packed. I think you had looked ahead at it and were just like, oh, what's the deal with this Drifter's Wife? So you had found out that like each day they will take online reservations up until like 3 p.m.
Right.
And then they stop and whatever still is available is for walk-ins. Plus the bar seating right. is always for walk-ins. So I think we just got lucky because we got an actual table. Right. They must not have had it maxed out that day.
Well, and we also, I mean, we were there at 5:30, so we were a little early. We lucked out.
Definitely did.
Do you want to talk about that dinner? And then,
definitely talk about the name.
So we just had, I don't know, do you remember our waitress's name?
I don't know.
She was lovely.
Yeah, she was great.
And we love, well, quote, yuppie food. But sometimes I don't know what everything means. So Carl and I will just like Google what things mean. So we were Googling what certain things meant. And then the waitress came up and she's like, no, don't Google. That's what I'm here for. And like,
we feel embarrassed.
I know,
about that,
but she didn't make me feel like that at all. No, she was like, no, it's this, it's this. I'm like, okay, what does this mean? So she did a great job of kind of helping us pick what we wanted to eat. So we had a really awesome meal. I forget. It was some sort of, burrata, like it was kind of like the inside of burrata cheese, with, what else was in that dish?
Oh, I don't remember everything. All I remember is two of the dishes we have were very driven by squash.
Oh, it that had delicata.
Stracciatelli was one of the squashes. Yeah. And then there was another one that was like a delicata squash.
It was like a, I don't know what it was.
It was kind of like a delicata squash, but like a small one. And it was made into like a bowl with their own like clam chowder in there. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it was like a
brown butter,
Crouton, yeah, that was
on sugar, yeah.
See, I'm okay, so I'm not big on oysters or clams or anything like that, and I'm not like huge on clam chowder, but that was really awesome. Like, every dish we had there was super great,
and we had the
tuna, bluefin tuna that was outstanding as well. Like, everything there was just so good, and we ended up talking to the couple sitting next to us because they were kind of looking at what we were eating, and they were like, oh, I think we're gonna get that. So, we're chatting, and then we got to, you know, we're from Baltimore-ish area, and they were like, oh, you're visiting. Did you hear about this place from Bon Appetit? And I was like, we were like, what? And they're like, oh, well, there was this just recently a article in Bon Appetit about, like, every now and then apparently they'll do, like, their top 10 restaurants in the United States, and they had just done a new one, and Drifter's Wife was number 9 on their top 10 list. So we were like, wow, no, we had no clue. We just heard a few people in town being like, hey, Drifter's Wife is great, so we decided to come. And they're like, oh, cool, we're glad you made it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And they were saying, like, they're like, we live here, and, like, in the summer we don't even go out to eat at all because it's so crowded.
Well, they were saying one of the main reasons is they have a lot of cruise ships that come into Portland, and that's, like, thousands of people that'll just, like, exit this ship and go out and, like, eat. So just being flooded with tourists. So I was like, yeah, that could be a real pain to deal with, I would think.
Well, for the first thing they said, they're like, oh, you're from Baltimore. We're on season 2 of The Wire.
Yeah. That's a great thing. Because Baltimore people love it when you equate their place with The Wire. So nice. I said that to them. I was like, yeah, people from Baltimore don't like hearing that. You know, in a kind of joking way, but, you know. So that was Drifter's Wife, and it was amazing, and we would definitely go back if we were there. And then right after that, just like a few stores down, was the bottling and blending location for Oxbow.
Yep.
So we were like, let's go there, let's do some beers.
Let's drink more beer.
And we did, and, well, let's talk about some of the really awesome ones there. Their space there was very different than their original, but we'll talk more about that in next week's episode for their brewery showcase.
Yeah. It was, like, a smidge too dark. It was kind of, like, weird because it was, like, industrial, felt like auto, like a car garage.
Yeah, like a fix-it garage.
And then there were all these candles and there were, like, no light and there were flowers on all the tables. And
it's,
I was like,
dark as hell.
I was like, this is odd. Is it romantic?
Is it... a tripping hazard.
Yeah, I was like, is someone going to kill me?
So your favorite beer there was Infinite Darkness.
Yes.
Which was just like an Imperial Stout. Very nice Imperial Stout. Yeah. I think it was a Belgian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, it was Belgian.
Which, I've had a few Belgian Imperial Stouts before and Belgian Stouts before, and typically I'm not a huge fan, but that was really good.
Yeah.
And my favorite was their Lupolo. Oh,
that was really good.
Which, oh my gosh, it was a like German style Pilsner and it was friggin' tasty. Just so friggin' tasty. I loved that beer so much so I was like, I need to buy a 4-pack because they had 4-packs available in 16-ounce cans. So I went and purchased one. The guy went to get it and he's searching. He's going in the back. He's going other places. And I'm like, oh, no. And he comes back. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to credit this back to your credit card. We're actually out. And he was like, but we're going to have it back in cans in like a week or two. And I was like, that doesn't help me because I'm from out of town. I'm going to be gone. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. But that was an awesome Pilsner. A really good Pilsner. So let's go to the next beer. And then we'll talk about the next day.
Well, literally we ate and drank all day.
We did. We totally did. We were pretty exhausted. Because we walked a lot, too.
Yeah.
We did walk a lot.
I mean,
so
not that much.
So the next beer is by a brewery that we also went to on the next day we're going to talk about. And they're one of the ones where, you know, people who are local, who are in the know, you ask them and be like, okay, other than the big breweries that everyone knows about, what would you recommend? And this was said like every single time.
Yeah.
And that's Foundation Brewing. And they are in the space that used to be Bissell Brothers.
Right.
And that before that was Main Beer Company. So there have been a lot of good breweries that have come out of that particular space. So what we have from them is the Coffee Burnside, which is a brown ale with coffee added, and it is 5.1% alcohol. So,
and if I remember correctly, they I think also just do Burnside, and then this is the coffee version.
Yeah, yeah, they have just a straight up pale or a brown ale that's called Burnside. Yeah. This is the coffee. So we went in and we tried. Well, we'll talk about that more, but we tried some of their beers, and this was one that we just decided not to try. Just get a 4-pack of it to go, so that we could have one on the podcast.
Yeah, this is the day we started off with Allagash.
Yep, and we'll talk about that as soon as we get through this beer. I don't know, get through it in a bad way, but it looks like a brown ale.
Yeah.
You can kind of see around it on the edges, or see through it around the edges.
Yeah, it's like light brown, a little reddish hue.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my gosh. It's so like roasty, malty coffee.
Coffee is definitely the star in the aroma. I'm getting
like some chocolate notes.
Definitely. I get chocolate, molasses, and coffee.
It smells really good.
Actually, the molasses may be a little bit more, like, between molasses and, like, a brown sugar, kind of.
There's definitely a sweetness.
Yeah. Oh, God, that smells amazing. That coffee's really good, but really, it's not like a green coffee. It's more of, like, a nicely roasted coffee, like a medium roast, not super dark, not light, medium roast.
Okay.
Whoa.
It's really good.
It's like coffee, man.
It tastes exactly how it smells.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a thinner mouthfeel because it is a brown ale.
Yeah.
It delivers. It's a solid brown ale with a lot of those really awesome coffee notes.
You know, it's kind of weird because it actually makes it a little bit refreshing. Like,
because it's light? Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't really think that, like, a coffee brown ale is going to have, like, a refreshing flavor and refreshing finish to it, because you'd think that the bitterness from the coffee is going to kind of linger, but it does, but it also feels clean at the same time, and it's, like, light.
I think it is because it has that thinner mouth feel, but you're getting a lot of those dark, robust flavors.
Yeah, super robust. When you take your first sip of it, the coffee like kind of hits you in an almost jarring way because it comes off like very roasty, like a dark roast. Like I was saying, it smells like a medium roast. It kind of tastes initially like a dark roast. And as you take more sips, that kind of starts to like mellow out a little bit more because you start perceiving more of kind of like the malt sweetness coming up, which I was saying was kind of like between a brown sugar and a molasses. And then you get those kind of slight notes of like a chocolate. Yeah, this is finessed. This is a nice beer, and not that many places are doing brown ales, and specifically coffee brown ales, but...
Well, that's one of the reasons we're like, this is something kind of different, so let's get a 4-pack of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's unique. Let's be honest, we were like, we're going to have a whole 4-pack of that. That sounds like something we would want to drink.
Well, that, and we already had a shit ton of IPAs.
Yeah, that's another thing. We already had a lot of hoppy beers, and we were just like, what's different?
Well, and we're like, we can't go through all these hoppy beers.
Yeah, no, not at all. All right, so while we keep sipping on this very nice beer, let's talk about our third day.
Yeah, so we started at Allagash.
Shout outs to Aaron, who is a tour guide there.
Aaron,
yes. Bob Kutch, who was the person who helped coordinate us coming there. Lindsay Bohansky, who also helped coordinate us coming there and took time with us and talked with us. And Mike, who was one of the servers / register guys at the store, who we ended up talking to a good amount. It was a super nice guy. So what was Allagash like?
Oh, I'm like...
Just like a, because we're also going to have a brewery showcase for Allagash.
So we'll talk more about it in detail. But we did the tour. We had some beers. It's a really nice facility.
Mm-hmm.
Indoor, outdoor space. They had a food truck. So we had some food.
It's some really good food.
And I like their beers a lot more. I feel like I've had more of them. So I can appreciate the wide range that they are able to do and accomplish with.
Yep.
Great quality.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
I mean, when we pulled up to it, we took a Lyft ride there. When you pull up to it, you're just like, it presents, the outside of it presents like it's a well-established, well-known brewery.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of grandiose and looks, like, cool and modern, and you're just like, oh, Allagash. Like, you know, there's some breweries you kind of pull up to and you're just like, it just looks like an industrial space.
Yeah.
That was not the case with Allagash.
Well,
it looks like...
I mean, it stands alone. It's not yes. like... Like, the other breweries we'll talk about, like, yeah. we're all... It almost felt like a storage locker unit.
The other breweries yeah. you're talking about? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, kind of... I don't know if there actually was, like, a garage door that went up, and then, like...
Yep, I think so.
And in there, where there were also, like, a distillery in there, and lots of... beer.
Yeah, so when we were done...
So very different from Allagash.
Yeah, when we were done with Allagash, which I'll tell you real quick, the schedule of there will be this episode, then the week after this episode airs, there will be the brewery showcase for Oxbow, then after that will be the brewery showcase for Bissell Brothers, and then will be the brewery showcase for Allagash. So plan accordingly for whichever ones you guys really hear, but we hope that you want to hear all of them, because there's really cool information about all those breweries. Yeah. Each of those breweries gave us beers specifically for the showcase episode, and they were curated by them specifically, so that's a really awesome thing. So tune in for those. They're going to be great. And, yeah, so when we were done with Allagash, we just literally walked like a block.
Like down the street.
Yeah, because that's where all these other breweries were. And the people at Allagash, we were kind of polling a few of them, being like, okay, if we're only going to be able to hit a few more breweries. If we hit just, like, tell us three breweries to hit. And they're like, oh, okay, so I would recommend this, maybe this, blah, blah, blah. And the highest recommended ones ended up being in that same grouping of buildings, in that same, like, yeah. industrial
thing.
Well,
I think they're all there. The only one we didn't get to that was there was the Definitive.
Mm-hmm.
Which we were like, well, it was right there. However, by this point, we had lots of beer we were trying to carry and, like, get in and out of the lift with. We also had a Definitive beer the other day.
Also, we had consumed a good amount of beer at Allagash.
Yeah.
So we were feeling good. We were feeling really good. Thank you, Allagash, for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were feeling good. So we were just like... We want to go try some more beers, but we don't want to go too crazy because we're going to feel terrible.
So we did have the full flight at Foundation and then bought the coffee Burnside. And all of the beer at Foundation was
at least
really good.
Quite good to awesome. Yeah. Yeah. People were definitely right when they were just like, go to Foundation. Foundation's really good. Yes, they were really good. So what we had there, we had an Imperial IPA called Epiphany. That was an awesome one. We had Peaches My Jam, which was a really nice peach. That was a sour.
Yeah.
I think they just called it a fruit beer there, but it was actually like a peach sour. That was really nice. Chai Swizzle, which was actually a goza with chai spices.
And it was... I'm glad I tried it. I don't think I could drink a lot. I think just having like the taster amount was enough.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was definitely worth a try, but like I said, I don't think I could drink a whole lot of it.
Yeah, well, and me with my, you know, I was talking about that chai bomb that we got from Scratch Bakery. Like, it was kind of the same thing for me. I was like, I tried it, and I was impressed with their ability to pull that off, and I could see people really liking that chai goza, but it just, the spicing, not my thing.
Yeah.
So.
It was, yeah.
Then we had their Riverton Flyer, which was their German Pilsner.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, nice, light, crisp, refreshing, awesome, clean. Then their Cosmic Bloom, which was a really nice pale ale, like a nice hoppier version of a pale ale. So that was all we had at Foundation, and then we obviously got this Coffee Burnside, which was really nice.
I think it was really hard to pick what we were going to taste and what we were going to buy, because everything I thought was good.
Yeah, and honestly, after we had that Epiphany, because it was a really awesome Imperial IPA, they had it available in cans. And I was like, I kind of want to get this Epiphany. And I think you were like, we just one four-pack because we already have a ton of beer.
Well, and again, we didn't have a car, so we're like just trying to carry. Thankfully, I bought a tote bag at Allagash, so I had beer in a tote bag, and we were just carrying beer.
We were kind of a mess in a sense. Like, not like we were feeling good.
We were like bag people.
we had tons of bags we were just carrying stuff.
I also had like my purse I was carrying that day was like a tote bag. So that was full of stuff. And
yeah,
we took up a lot of space. So we decided not to do a flight at every place after that and just do one taste of something.
Yeah. So then actually after Foundation, we went to Battery Steel and we tried two beers. Their Zia, which was a farmhouse IPA, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
I wasn't like huge on it. It was decent. Then we had their Endless Ride, which was a Berliner Weiss with raspberry and lime. And that was really good.
Yeah, it was really refreshing. It was very fruit forward and the color was beautiful.
Yeah, that like the nice, there's a lovely flavor with raspberry. Like raspberry is a very nice berry flavor when you capture it properly. And they did. And just like each sip, that awesome raspberry just encapsulated with like a quick hit of like a lime tartness that would just kind of like encapsulate each taste. And it was really nice. Really nice. Liked that a lot. And then after that, we hit Austin Street, which was another one that was pretty well recommended to us. We had their Six Grain, which was a milk stout, which is
that was good.
That was a nice milk stout. We had their Patina Pale Ale, which was a nice kind of hoppier pale ale.
Was that their first beer?
Yeah, that's the first beer they'd ever made.
So we decided, we're like, well, let's have that one.
Yeah, so we tried those, and then we picked up one that will be our last beer. Yeah. But we're not going to get into that one quite yet. So the other
thing, and they're expanding, so they're going to be moving to another location.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yeah, because they've been around for a few years. I think it's like 3 or 4 years or something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So then after that, we hopped a lift and went to the International Cryptozoology Museum.
Oh, yes, we did. And we asked them to hold our beer.
Yes, actually, we did. With the very nice guy at the front who was, you had to buy tickets, kind of. Well, admission. You didn't get physical tickets. You had to buy admission to get in. We were like, can we leave these beers with you behind your register? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. So we went in, we just kind of looked around, and Rebecca loved it, right?
It was very interesting. I saw what would be the equivalent of a life-size model of Bigfoot's poo.
Yep.
Along with other poo samples of other animals to look for size comparison.
Yes. So people who aren't familiar with what cryptozoology is, it's basically the study of creatures that some people believe exist, but we've not come in a scientific contact with, like the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, Abominable Snowman, Chupacabra, Jersey Devil, Mothman, all those types of things. So I'm familiar with it. I read a horror magazine called Rue Morgue, and they always have a little bit about cryptozoology in it, but me personally, I'm amused by it. I don't believe in it, but I know there are people out there who are like totally into it, and they believe it, and it's their thing, and that's what this museum was all about.
And it was very eye-opening.
It's the only museum in the world for cryptozoology.
Yeah, that's why it's only one. That's, I felt like we kind of had to.
Yeah.
Although we probably could have spent our $40
in a different way.
Yeah. Anyway, that's crossed off our bucket list.
Yeah, definitely. It was weird. It was very kind of jumbled.
Yeah.
And not everything was cryptozoology related. Some of it was like, here are things with cryptozoology related artwork on them.
Yeah.
And like, it was real loose. So, yeah. I don't know. But they were right next door to Bissell Brothers.
Yeah.
So we were like, sweet, Bissell Brothers is right here. Let's go in and have some more beers.
Yeah.
So we went back to Bissell Brothers, had a few beers, and then went to Bard Coffee.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did?
We did.
That was when we went to Bard Coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, we went back into Portland proper.
Yeah.
And we went to Bard Coffee.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, we did do that.
And they had good coffee.
Well, because I was like, I have been drinking all day. I need something.
You gotta pep up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We had some, that was good coffee.
Yeah, it was good coffee, and the server there was really nice. The guy, well, server, the, our barista, the guy who was making the coffee for us, was very nice. Didn't catch his name, sorry. And then after that, we ran to High Roller because Rebecca really needed a lobster roll.
Yeah, I was like, I can't leave without my lobster. Hold on, this I'm trying to figure that. How did we? In my mind, I'm trying to figure out like which Lyft driver we were with. So how do we get from Bard Coffee? We picked up a Lyft again to go to the lobster?
No, we walked.
No, we didn't.
I thought we did.
We got out of the nice man's Lyft at the lobster place.
Oh, I don't know. If people can't tell, based off of our recollection, we had a bunch of beer that day.
Yeah.
So things happened in some order. And we got places.
We also had one Lyft driver twice.
We did.
And he was awesome.
Ooh, because not only did we hit Bard and High Roller, but we also
ran... to Holy Donut.
Back to Holy Donut.
I've got two more donuts.
No, dude. Did we get two? I thought we got more than that. I thought we got three or four.
Four, we did. We got four more donuts.
We got four more donuts. Yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
And they were all quite good, but they were none of them were as good as that first one. Yeah.
First time's always your best.
Yeah, exactly. They had a sweet potato donut, by the way, which was...
Oh, that was good. We did get that.
Was good. I didn't think I would like it because I'm not big on sweet potatoes, but it was quite good. It's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so your experience with the High Roller
it was delicious. It was so good. And I had... You could pick your sauce. So I picked lobster ghee. And so it's like clarified butter with lobster in it. And it was so good. So yeah. I got it to go. And then me, my lobster roll, all of our beer, and our donuts crammed back into another Lyft.
Yeah.
And finally made it home.
Yeah. And once again, like the day prior, we were totally beat. Yeah. We're totally beat that day. Because, you know, a long day of drinking will make you tired.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, this might be a little... sentimental / philosophical, but I, you know, one thing that Carlin and I like about using Lyft and is like meeting people that you would never otherwise interact with.
Well, especially because you're in another state or city,
that too. You know? Yeah. And just kind of like hearing their story, you know, like the one Lyft driver was, where was he from?
From Congo.
And he was talking about the first time he ever saw snow.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just really interesting. And I had been drinking and I was feeling good.
So things were even more profound.
And they were so profound. But this was profound because he was talking about how until he came to America, he didn't realize women could do certain things.
Yeah.
He dropped us off at Bissell Brothers. And I remember like, kind of like, I was wiping tears because I thought it was just like... So, eye-opening.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, definitely was. So, on that note...
On that sentimental
note. Are going to go ahead and do our final beer. And then, I think we hit Trillium, by the way, on our way home. Oh, so, we'll talk a little about Trillium.
Well, because the next day...
I'm sure people want to know that.
Well, the next day, all we did was just, like, get up, drive to the wedding...
Yeah, the next day we actually went to the wedding. You guys don't really want to hear about that, but shout out to Amanda Prather and Chris Seto, two amazingly awesome people who got married, and their wedding was a blast, and it was beautiful, and you guys are beautiful people, and we love you, and it was awesome. Very happy to have been a part of that.
Yeah, I'm so glad we were able to make it. And then the next day we got up and went to Trillium with...
My buddy Jason Ng and his wife Liz, used to be Liz Bowers, now Liz Ng. And we went to their wedding last year, which is why you guys got a Boston Vacation episode then, so you should go back and listen to that now.
So, we didn't meet any friends at this wedding that aren't already married, so I guess their wedding...
Yeah, we're done with the weddings up there.
Yeah. But, I don't
know. Okay, so, well, unless people get divorced...
And they have divorce parties. Yeah, that's maybe. Not nice.
You no, not divorce that. Parties. They get married again, but we don't hope
We don't
that.
Want that.
I'm just saying that's how it happens again, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so our final beer, and then we'll talk about our time at Trillium. This is by Austin Street Brewery, which we talked about going to. And it is their Gradation, which is a raspberry wild ale, and it is 5.6% alcohol. We tried to get a relative mix for this episode of beers. Obviously, the first two are IPAs, but the first one you have is like more of like a West Coast style IPA. The next one is like a New England style IPA. Then you have a coffee brown, and now you have a raspberry wild ale. So cool. Oh.
Nope.
Oh, here it goes.
There it goes. Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah, not much. Aha. I knew I should have my thing
trusty
here.
Trusty bucket?
I need a paper towel, though. Keep people entertained. Talk about our time. You actually had talked to the... you had talked to the lady who was pouring drafts about this beer, and she was talking about the amount of fruit.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember at all.
Way to hold down the podcast. Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember. I remember walking up to her and saying, oh my gosh, I remember telling her, because the guy in front of me was being extremely friendly to her, and I thought it was creepy, so I told her that. I said, I bet you have a lot of creepy old men talking to you. And then I think she thought I was a creepy lady by saying that. So I think I did the opposite.
So you, like, didn't help the situation, no, is what you're saying?
But a lot of people were buying this beer.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
Oh, the one guy I was chatting with.
He said it was, I heard him say it was good.
Yeah, he bought a couple bottles. Oh, did he? He was from, like, Richmond area.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about their patina lot, that pale ale that we ended up trying. Yeah, so glad I had the bucket because it did overflow. Got it contained. That's what's up. It's just sitting in the bucket right now. Okay, so it looks red, like reddish brown.
Reddish brown, yeah.
Reddish brownish. Can't see through it really. It's got a like pinkish reddish head to it.
It's pretty.
Which is really pretty. It's really pretty. But I do remember that when she was telling us how many raspberry, like what poundage of raspberry they were putting in there, I was like, geez.
Yeah.
It was
Oh, I don't remember her name.
Me neither, but she was really nice and cool.
Yeah,
knew a lot.
And she was very knowledgeable, which I think
crazy
is...
crazy knowledgeable.
I hate when you go someplace and, like, someone can't talk the product. Like...
Yeah.
Or, like, you go to a restaurant. Like, I want a server who can tell me the flavors and what I'm going to get out of each dish to really kind of help me pick what I want. Same with beer. When I order, I want someone to be able to tell me, if you like this, you're like this. Or this has this. You know, like, I want that.
Able to be my guide.
Yeah. And she did an awesome job.
Yeah, she did. So sorry we don't remember your name.
Yeah. Girl Nicole. I think it was Nicole.
No, you're totally right. Someone called her Nikki.
Yes, it was Nikki. She goes by Nikki.
Oh, good job. Good job remembering that. Nikki at Austin Street Brewery.
Yeah.
You rock. Sorry we forgot your name.
And sorry I was a creeper.
Dude, that smell is insane.
It's like so fruity, so raspberry-y.
So sometimes for me... raspberry, like beers that have a lot of genuine raspberry smell can be a little floral at the same time.
Okay.
And I definitely get that. I get a lot of like raspberry berry smell, and it's juicy in the sense of like actual like berry juice, but I also get like a nice like flowery note on the top of it.
Okay. And I'm getting like a little bit of sour, but to me it smells more tart.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I wouldn't say sour either. It's kind of like a heavy, medium to heavy tart note on there.
Wow.
It's more sour than you thought. More tart.
Well, yeah. I think it's super tart. It's like a raspberry sweet tart.
Ooh, yeah. No, it is. They're definitely, I mean, you can tell they put a lot of raspberries in there because there is a lot of like raspberry juice flavor to it. I do also get that kind of a bit of a floral note that I was saying I was smelling.
So what do you think?
It's almost like a little honeysuckle because I feel like I get a tad bit of honey in there too. I like it. It is good.
It's
got a slight funkiness to it as well. There's a little bit more for you, Rebecca. There you go. Yeah, it's got a little bit of a slight funkiness, and it almost, well, not almost, it does have a little bit of that cereal note that you like.
You think?
Yeah. It's not a lot. It's slight. It's slight. Yeah. Hmm. I like it. That's good. This is really good. So let's talk about Trillium real quick
while we
continue to sip on this. So on our way out with Jason and Liz, we went to Trillium. And I had, when we were going to go for this trip, I had said I would like to hit Trillium on the way back home if we could. So it ended up working out that we could do that. We had to delay when we got on the road because of it, which kind of sucked because then that put us home late. But I kind of felt like it ended up being worth it because... Why, Rebecca?
Oh, I got my tiramisu.
Which is a beer you've been wanting for some time.
Well, I just love the label art and it sounded good. And I follow them on the Instagram and I needed it and I got it.
Good story. No, so it literally was a situation where, like, the day prior, the day of the wedding, we were looking and I was like, I wonder what they're going to have at Trillium. And I think you were just like, oh, I'll check. And then you were like, oh my gosh, they're going to have archive beers
available. I guess every Sunday they do a couple, what they call, like archive beers.
Which I had no idea about this.
How would we know? We don't know.
So Rebecca found out and she's like, oh my gosh, you won't believe this. One of the beers they're releasing for their archive sale tomorrow is the tiramisu. I've been wanting the tiramisu. And I had heard about the tiramisu from Rebecca at least a year ago, if not longer, at her seeing it and being like, I want that beer. I want that beer so bad. Do you know anyone who can get it for us? So it was really cool to be able to go there. And we got there a little bit early before they opened because they opened at noon.
Yeah, we had to wait in a line. We were those people.
Yeah, we were those people. But the line wasn't that bad.
No.
It really wasn't that bad. So a line formed ahead of time and then... It just kind of like feels dumb because you're standing in line outside and then you go inside and you're standing in that same line. It just moved inside. So you're just standing there. But they move things pretty quick in there.
Well, because I'm sure that this is like every day for them, you know?
I know. Yeah, they're very much used to that. So let me talk about the beers we had there. We had their double dry hopped Farnsworth Street, which was one of their... New England style IPAs. Very good. We had their Macaroon, which was an imperial stout with a bunch of stuff like coconut and almonds, I think, and some other things in there.
I don't know.
It wasn't as good as you would think, to be honest. I wanted it to be a lot better than it was. It was still good.
Yeah.
Then we had their Escape Plan, which was a sour with... Like, what all was in it? This is like a bunch of stuff, like pineapple and...
Vanilla.
Was there guava in there? I think there may have been some guava.
Know.
And lactose was added to it. So it's kind of like a one of those, like, smoothie sours in a sense.
It was really good. Ended up with a 4-pack of that.
Yeah. I tasted a lot of pineapple in that.
It was really good.
A lot of pineapple in that one. Then we had the Apricot Soak, which was just a apricot sour beer. Which, if you remember our Boston episode, we talked about having their peach soak. Well, that was our peach super soak, so I think, like, the imperial version. And that was really awesome. The apricot soak was really awesome, too. Then we had, I tried their permutation series, which, surprisingly, from the people who are well-known for doing New England-style IPAs, it's a series that they're doing of German-style pilsners.
Only that number, which was 64, they did multiple of 64, but that whole series isn't just...
Right. So they had three different pilsners. They all tasted a little bit different, but they were all very tasty. Then we got the Adjunction Junction, which was an imperial stout just with all this extra stuff added, like coconuts and I think macadamia nuts in there and a bunch of other stuff.
I found the spider.
There is a spider in the house. Okay. I'll take care of him later.
And anyway. I also saw the gnat flying around.
Oh, perfect. We have a veritable house of critters that we don't want at the moment. Then we had the Exchange Student, which was a Imperial IPA. I think that...
I don't think that was.
That one was... Oh, no. Was that their Hefeweizen IPA?
Yes.
That one was... This is labeled incorrectly and untapped. Oh, well. Yeah, that's what it was. Yep. And that was it. That's what we had there. Yeah, the Exchange Student. The Exchange Student was interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
I like loved it.
No, and I'm glad we tried it because it was not a style you don't see a lot.
Well, I've actually never seen anyone do an IPA Hefeweizen. So yeah, it was cool to know that someone could do it and pull it off.
So we still have not had our tiramisu.
Correct.
I don't know when we'll open it.
Yeah. But we did bring home a 4-pack of their Stilling Street
and their
IPA.
Four?
And their Fort Point Pale Ale. The Fort Point is really good. The Stilling Street is just okay, to be honest. So, you know.
So we left, ended up leaving much later than anticipated.
Yeah.
Which led for more traffic.
Yeah, it was a rough drive back. We, Rebecca was counting up the amount of states we drove through, which was nine total. And I then said, she's like, we drove through 9 states. And I said, and the state we were in most of the time was frustration.
And somehow we're still married.
We did have some disagreements just because of stress level.
Carlin said the traffic was so bad we'd never make it home and he just wanted to spend the night somewhere else.
At some point, it feels hopeless. It feels very hopeless. The problem is this. Literally, people were slowing down in traffic on a main highway because there's a bend in the road. That is fucking stupid. I mean, come on, people. It's a bend in the road. Unless there are the yellow arrows and it says reduce speed, you're fine to go the same speed.
Yeah.
Get it right. Pisses me off.
We got off the highway. We got some Starbucks. We switched. I started driving and then...
It was better.
It was better.
Ish.
It was fine.
Still was tough.
I was like, we're not... I was like, I don't know, Carlin, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it?
Well, it's like... This is something I say and Rebecca thinks it's kind of funny. It felt so soggy.
Yeah.
You know when you just feel like... You feel like it's been a long day and you feel very unfresh. I describe it as you feel soggy. And I was like, I feel freaking soggy and I don't like it. And I want to shower and go to bed.
So, yeah. So,
but it was worth it to be able to stop in a Trillium.
Despite all odds, we did make it home. Mm-hmm. We did not spend the night. Even though I jokingly, every time there was a hotel, I said, are you sure you don't want to spend the night somewhere?
Okay. So, that was it. That was our trip.
Yeah.
And it was a really good time, and we would definitely like to go back to Portland, Maine, because they have a lot of good food, they have a lot of good beer, and it's a fun place. It's really cool.
I still want to see the whales.
You do still want to see the whales, but you did see a gang of turkeys.
Not the same.
Is it not the same? I think it's kind of better.
And I did see a cow shit corner.
Yeah. There literally are like roving gangs of turkeys on the sides of roads. We saw two of them.
Is that what they're called? Gangs?
No, I just say that because I think it's funny.
Oh.
I don't know what they're actually called. But in my mind, it should be a gang of turkeys because it sounds funny. So we saw two gangs of turkeys in our travels.
But no moose.
No moose.
And no whale.
No whale. But we saw some seals. So that's cool.
Yes.
Anyway, let's talk about these beers. How are we going to rank them? I feel like this is very hard to do.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
But you are.
I don't know.
But you are.
Okay, I'm going to do
two. We always do it.
I'm doing 2 and 2, and that's all you're going to get out of me.
What are your 2 and 2?
Top two is the Battery Steel.
The On-Site, number 7.
And the Coffee Burnside.
Okay, the brown ale, coffee brown ale. Mm-hmm. If you want more of one of them, which is it?
Burnside.
Okay, so that's your number one. So the Coffee Burnside by Foundations, Rebecca's number one. Her number two is the Battery Steel On-Site number 7 Experimental IPA.
And then, you're making me do this, it's the raspberry.
The Gradation by Austin Street Brewery, which is the Raspberry Wild Ale.
And then the Maine.
And then the Maine Beer Company, Woods and Waters IPA. This is a hard one.
I know. I like them all, though.
I know. You know what?
You doing the same?
Yeah, I'm going to go the same.
Booyah!
I'm going to go the same ranking with you, but the Coffee Burnside, On-Site number 7, and Gradation are pretty close.
They're all good.
I would say the Coffee Burnside and the On-Site number 7 are the closest, and then not far after is Accreditation, and then further back is the Woods and Water, but it's still really good.
Can I have more of that Woods and Water?
Can.
And it's not, yeah. There's some water. I still like it, though.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. It's all good stuff. So anyway, yeah, so people stay tuned, please, for the Brewery Showcase episodes. Because like I said, the breweries were super awesome. We're going to have some really good information on them. And the breweries in particular provided beers for us. They curated it. So with the next episode, it's the Oxbow Brewery Showcase. Head brewer Mike Fava handpicked all four of the beers.
Fava. And he thought I was wearing a necklace that was a fava bean.
He did. He got excited when he saw that. And he was like, oh, it's not a fava bean. All right.
I was like, why would it be a fava bean?
I believe you actually said, Mike, not everything is about you.
I did say that. And then I was like, I shouldn't have said that.
No, but he thought it was funny.
Been drinking too much.
Yeah.
This
so
what happens. I'm inappropriate.
It does happen from time to time. But anyway, so those beers on the Oxbow one were handpicked by head brewer Mike Fava. So really, really cool. The next episode after that is the Bissell Brothers Showcase episode. They gave us beers of everything they had available in cans for purchase that day. So we're going to have five beers on that episode to go through. Four of them are hoppy. One of them is not. It is something else. So basically that's curated by Bissell Brothers from what they had available. And then after that is the Allagash Brewery Showcase episode. And that one was curated beers by Lindsay Bohansky, who I think you had looked up her. What was her title? She's a certified Cicerone, yeah, by the way. So she knows her stuff.
Yeah, she's super knowledgeable. She's like pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, she's a really cool person. So she put the beers together for that one. And it's a nice lineup. It's a really good mix.
Well, she thought about it. She's like, let me think about this.
She did. She legit took like 15 to 20 minutes to like really put thought into it and get back to us and bring us the beers while we kind of hung out and drank some.
Drank more.
So I really appreciate that. So they should be really good beer lineups coming up and good information. It's going to be awesome. So thank you everyone for checking this out. Thank you Portland, Maine for being cool and all the breweries.
And tune in next time when you can hear more about how Carlin is soggy.
But I also want to say real quick, shout out to Tammy and Yusuf.
Oh yeah.
Boom. You forgot about Tammy and Yusuf, didn't you?
We met them at Oxbow, and then we ran into them again in the streets of Portland.
Yeah, we ran into them right after we had been at Navari Res.
Yeah.
So they were really cool people. They had been in Vermont and then came down to Portland, and just cool people. So shout out to Tammy and Yusuf. You guys rock.
Yeah.
Anyway, until next time, thank you for checking this out. Please give us ratings and reviews on iTunes because that helps us out. You can send us emails, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. I'm not going over it. But until next time.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.